welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word of God. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture found in 1 John. And this is such an amazing passage because it is full of a lot of truth that we really take with us kind of on a regular basis throughout our Christian life. And here it goes. It says, this is the Apostle John. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so we see John is taking something head on here, you know, about, maybe we would say it, you know, in our day, walking the walk or talking the talk, something like that. And he's basically saying, you know, it's one thing to talk the talk, it's another thing to walk the walk. If you're saying one thing and doing something else, that's not okay. That's going to affect you. It's going to impact your life in a certain way. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we can see that, first of all, that God is light. And so as we're walking with God, we're walking in light, we're walking with God. You know, we see that not only is God light, but later in this book, John says that God is love. All right? We're called to walk in love. God is light. We're called to walk in the light. And we've done different messages and series at Door of Life about what it means to walk in the Spirit and to walk after God, different things like that. But I really wanted to take this passage head on this morning and delve into it, kind of break it down a little bit so we can understand what it means and what it doesn't mean. Sometimes we can misinterpret things as we're looking at it, and I just really want to look at what it means really to walk in the light with God, because so much is contingent upon this. You know, if we walk in the light, there's an amazing promise. We have fellowship one with another. If we don't, praise God, there's provision that we can confess our sins. But this is part of our walk, and this is part of our, our framework, our guideline that we come back to in this personal relationship that we have with Jesus. So this morning, we're just going to look at walking in the light. What does it truly mean to walk in the light? The first aspect of this passage we want to look at is just the reality that we're walking in the light as he is in the light. What does that mean? Walking in the light as he is in the light. We are walking in the light. You're walking in the light of what you know, okay? Again, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, if I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, that's going to mean something different for all of us. Do you understand that? Light represents what you see, what you know, what has been clearly revealed to you by God. You are not responsible for walking in the light that I have. You are responsible for walking in the light that you have. And sometimes, depending on people or you might bunk into, they can make you feel like you're responsible for walking in the light that they have. You're not. You're walking in the light as he is in the light. Now, What I want to do this morning is I want to kind of unfold my practical walk with the Lord over the years, over 40 plus years of walking with the Lord. I'm going to kind of be telling my story a little bit as it relates to this passage of Scripture, because I've come back to this one a lot. I've wrestled with this one a lot. And it's the more I see it, the more it unfolds, just the more beautiful it is to me, and a beautiful guide it is for my spiritual journey with Jesus. Because you see this, walking in the light as He is in the light. When I first got saved, okay, I got saved at a Nicky Cruz crusade, man, and it was an amazing thing. I experienced the gospel, and really any new believer, when you first receive Christ, you know, you get, this is the light that you get, all right? If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. Ephesians 2:8 puts it this way, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so, when you're a new believer, this is the light that you have. This is what you know. If you've really heard the gospel preached, you know that salvation is a gift, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You know, that you can't earn salvation, but all you can do is surrender yourself to Jesus and declare He's Lord. I believed not only that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but I believe that God raised Him from the dead. His resurrection from the dead is the physical, tangible evidence that my debt was paid. My sin couldn't keep Him in the ground. He was victorious over my sin, rose from the dead. I believe in the resurrection, and I confess Him as my Lord and my Savior. All right? Man, when that happens, you're a child of God. Free gift. I love how John puts it. He says, for as many as received Him, to them He gave the right. It doesn't say that He gave them the right to join the church. It said He gave them the right to become children of God. And that joins you to the church, but it's not a membership, it's not a club, it's a change that God does in you when you receive Him. And so when you get born again and you're a child of God, you just know that. And there's a joy. And like I said, when I remember my experience, I felt like I was light on my feet. It was like, wow, I know that I know. I'm loved by God. I know that I'm forgiven. Amazing. All right? Now, that's the light that I had, right? And you know how it is. And you might find this too. You might bunk into some people who just, that's what you know about the Lord. And that's great. That's where we all start. That's what we need. But even though that person, you know, that's all they know, right? That's the light they have. Does that mean that they might still be doing some things that maybe their conscience is absolved because they just don't know any better, all right? They could be sowing to the flesh in ways that they just don't even know is the flesh. They haven't even learned about spirit, flesh, and all that stuff. They're just doing what they've always done. All right? And it won't affect their conscience. They don't know what they don't know. But will they still of the flesh reap corruption? Will they still get the consequences of doing those things? Yeah. There's stuff when I was, you know, young and first learning about God, there was just some things that you would do. There would maybe be some things that you watch. It's like, well, we've always watched this. No big deal, right? But you're watching things and it's stirring up the things of the flesh. But you don't know any better, and so you're bunking into things. And it's like, you know, I'm struggling. I can't seem to stop thoughts. And it's, I know God loves me, and I'm crying out to God. I'm pursuing God. I want to know Him more. And you begin to find out something about God that we all do. New believers who find out that God loved them, so loved Him He sent Jesus, the grace that they're saved by, they find out something else about that grace. You find that that grace that saved you also has a teaching ministry, all right? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. So we find out that the same grace that loved us and saved us also loves us enough to show us things in our life that could be hindering us, that could be holding us back, those things that we're bumping into. So again, when I'm first saved, that's my light, all right? I've got about a thimble full of light, but I'm walking in it. And as I'm walking in it, my life bunks up against things, and I realize, you know what? I need more light. You see, God doesn't just want your sins forgiven. He wants to redeem you from every lawless deed. What does that mean? It's not just, I shouldn't do that anymore. No, he doesn't want that thing to have power over you anymore. Sin takes on a whole different perspective. Religiously, I got to do this and I got to do that to keep them happy with me and keep them happy with me, and hopefully that's all gone. When you're a child of God, he wants you to be free from the power of anything. Right. Sin is looked at in a completely different light. Yeah. It's not that I shouldn't do that. No, God doesn't. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. He who sins is a slave of sin. It's slavery. And it's like, I want to be free from slavery. I want these chains gone. And the same love of God that saved me, he wants me to be free. Different perspective on sin altogether. It's like, you know, it's not like religion says, I shouldn't do that. But when you're free, it's like, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm free. I can let the full color of my personality and the full color of who God has made me to be come out. I'm free from every lawless deed. Completely different. Now, as you grow in light, you know, you grow from a thimble to a cup to a bowl to a room full of light. You know, you're growing in that. You're maturing in that. I remember even early on in my spiritual growth thinking, man, I don't know that I want to grow. It's like the more I grow, the more I know, the more I'm accountable for. The more light that I have, as I'm walking in the light, as he is in the light, that means I've got more responsibility, more accountability. Yes, but you see more. Your vision is better. I remember when we were kids playing a video game. We had this video game, early 80s, but it was this game where you've got, you know, you have different levels and you graduate to different levels, but you start out with these different torches, all right? You had a pine torch, which was the weakest one, you know, and when you looked and you started out with your pine torch, you can kind of just see what's right in front of you. And then as you kind of look down the hall, everything really gets pixelated. It's like, ah. And you're fighting these creatures and things like that, and something's coming at you. You can't even see what it is. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't know. All I can just see is what's right here. You know, but then when you graduate and you grow a little more, then you graduate to a lunar torch. You can see a little bit more, and all of a sudden you can make out some of these creatures and things that are coming at you a little bit better. But that kind of burns out pretty quick. But then as you continue to grow, you get a solar torch. You get a lot of light, and pretty soon you can just see things coming at you from a distance, and you prepare. And before you know it, it gets hard to trick you. It gets hard to fool you because you've got light. Man, there's a light of knowing that Jesus loves you and he cares for you. But the same Jesus that loves you and died for you, he has light that helps you see things, to know things. And again, one of the first things that happens as you begin to grow and you begin to pursue God, you realize that there's a light in his word. The Bible takes on a whole different perspective too. Not only does sin go from being this, I shouldn't do that, to, wait now, that's bondage that I can be free from, all right? This isn't about who knows what or who sees what. This is about you personally having freedom in your life. Also, something changes about the Bible. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Bible kind of goes from this almost mystical black box that nobody can understand what it means to being an answer book in my life. All of a sudden, I can find out in the Word of God, as I'm struggling with different things, what God has to say about that. And all of a sudden, the Word begins to provide light to my feet. You know, a light to my path, and I begin to see things. Now, even as we're talking about the Word of God, the Word itself, let me put it this way to you. You're not accountable or responsible for everything you've heard. You become responsible and accountable for what's revealed about what you've heard. You understand? If we were all accountable for everything we'd heard, we'd all be in trouble. You know? I mean, you've heard a lot of things, but you only see a part of what you hear. You're seeing some things. You're getting some things. Again, people are at we're all at different places spiritually. So I say one thing, and it registers different on different people's hearts and minds. In the Bible, I always like to liken the Bible to like a Disney movie. When you're watching a Disney movie, maybe you're watching The Lion King or something like that, and you got all that physical humor, you know, with Pumbaa and Timon that makes the kids laugh and all that stuff. But then there's some other dialogue that they'll have between some characters that make the parents laugh, you know, because they're getting things that the kids don't see. They're just getting the physical action humor. But as you're beginning to watch it more and more, and it's just kind of the fun of being a parent, when you show your kids a movie and you see them laugh at things, and as they're growing up, you begin to see them laugh at other things, and they're catching other humor, and all of a sudden they're starting to laugh with you at some of the things you were laughing at years ago. But you're seeing them grow up. It's the same way with the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, I mean, I've had the Lord just deal with me. It was specifically once with the book of Galatians, and I was kind of getting this revelation. And he said, Ed, I need you to, you know, the book of Galatians. It's like, man, the book of Galatians is so strong in my heart. I like the book of Galatians. I know the book of Galatians. And the Lord just said, Ed, the book of Galatians, there's things in there you haven't laughed at yet. You've read them. You've heard them. But you haven't got them yet. And there's nothing, there's no shame. There's nothing wrong with that. You're growing up spiritually. Don't be frustrated with yourself about the fact that this is a growing process. They would tell us in Bible school, you can't put an adult head on a baby, and you can't put a spiritual adult head on a spiritual baby either. We all start with, we're saved by grace through faith, and then this journey with Jesus, this walk with Jesus, is a journey. It's not a race with each other to see who can grow up the fastest, who can know the most, who can do the most. It's not that at all. It's a beautiful, sweet, one-on-one journey with your Lord that He loves you. While you were a sinner, He loved you. So there's nothing I'm trying to do to impress Him to get Him to love me as a believer. He already loved me when I didn't even care about Him. Now I'm part of His family. Now I'm His child. Now I'm on this walk with Him. And step by step by step, I can begin to learn. I can go into the Word of God, not afraid that I'm going to, you know, oh my goodness, see something else that's wrong with my life. Not at all. I'm going into the Word to begin to get more light in my life, to get more freedom. And when we begin to see it from that perspective, man, it really changes everything. It's one of those things where what Jesus said is true. If you continue in my Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so I say that to say this, we've got to be patient with ourselves. We're walking in the light as He is in the light. We're walking in the light of things that we know. Here's another way that we walk in the light. What you're doing here this morning. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue till we all come to such a unity of our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like the truth. Man, this is great. You know, when you begin to get more light, it's hard to fool you. You begin to see things. I think Hebrews says, you know, the mature, you know, the strong meat belongs to the mature. Those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. In other words, you know, we kind of say in the natural, in the world, we've been around the block a few times. This isn't my first rodeo. What are we saying? Well, we've got some experience. Same thing can happen spiritually. When you begin to walk with God and be intentional and go after the things of God, you develop, you begin to get more light, you begin to see things. Things begin to repeat themselves. In other words, you get snared by something, and then the next time you're going down the road, you can see it coming from a mile off, and you get prepared and say, okay, that's a lie. I know it's going to be compelling. I know it's going to sound like the truth, but I know it's not because it is written, the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable and gentle. I know that that's not God. I know it. I've learned through obedience. And all of a sudden, I'm not off in depression land for 2 months because I learned to fight the good fight of faith. Thank God. You know, when I'm a new believer, when all I know is Jesus loves me, this I know the Bible tells me so, and he died on the cross for my sins, I don't realize yet that I'm to offer my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That stuff's coming. I'm learning. I'm growing. And we're all in different places in that area. But this is the amazing thing, is we're walking with God. That light is gradual. So I just kind of want to say that to say this. Don't be in condemnation because you don't know everything yet. You know what you know. You know what God has revealed to you. In fact, we'll say a lot of times here at Door of Life, as we're preaching, as there's a ministry gift of a pastor or teacher preaching, that it's not just what I'm preaching this morning, but it's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit. It's what God tells you about what the preacher is saying. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're learning. So I can be bringing up something here, and then God, by his Spirit, will personalize it to something in your life in particular. And he'll give you light. And you might see something and say, oh, he'll connect the dot. I'm struggling with this fear, but I'm opening the door to fear over here. Oh, I can see. I got to close that door. Okay, I see that, Lord. And you get that wit, not because somebody's saying, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't. No. It's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit, God giving you light to see something in a beautiful, personal way to help you, not to condemn you, but to show you something that's going to help your life. And then you do that thing, and then you experience some peace and some clarity and some soundness of mind. Praise God. You got more light. You know something now. You've learned something. You've learned some of the different ways the enemy has tried to distract you. Why? Because you got light. You see some things. The Word brings light. It brings a moral clarity by the Spirit of God because it is written. That is a beautiful, powerful light. Without that, you're left to yourself, your own devices, the world, and its confusion and every evil work. But the Word brings light, and you begin to learn that. I am so glad for the people in my life who came beside me and reiterated the importance of the Word of God. It's a big book. There's a lot in there. You don't have to be intimidated to know it all. All right? You're just going step by step and piece by piece. Here a little, there a little. Learning and growing. And like I said, it's not a competition. It's just something that I'm learning to grow and to walk in. But I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. Now, if I make a mistake, if God's clearly given me light on something and I know and I intentionally step outside that light, we all have. We all know what it's like to be selfish or lured out or tempted out or whatever it is, and we intentionally walk in darkness, that's where, thank God. If I'm out here in the darkness and I'm not in the light, that's where I can come before Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I said it. I did it. A step in this case where you're stepping in darkness is where you are violating your own conscience. It's not about you violating somebody else's conscience. It's about you doing what you know in your own heart God has shown you is light and dark, and you're stepping into that. That's when we willfully violate our own conscience, do the wrong thing. That's where there's cleansing and forgiveness for that. Praise God. And I will say this. Thank God for the mercy and the grace of God. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He is merciful, and he will stay with you. And I say that if there's anything Ed House is doing right or I've overcome, there's a trail of the mercy and the grace that stayed with me till I got it right, till I overcame. What does the scripture say? He's able to make, who are you to judge another man's servant? For God is able to make him stand. You know, God loves you. He's for you. Even when we miss it, he's got mercy and grace to get us back on track, to get us back in the light, okay? So we kind of understand this, I think, in a general sense. I don't know that there's a, you know, there's, that's kind of a foundation for where I really want to go this morning, and that's this. Not only do we walk in the light as he is in the light, but when we do walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And this is what I want to take on this morning, because we understand the struggle. I learn, I get light, I get more light, I walk in that light. If I step outside the light, there's forgiveness, and I can get back in the light again. That's progress. That's growing up spiritually. And as we go, our light is expanding. All right? So I think that's, you kind of understand that basic. But there's something overarching. There's an even broader context. As we're going through that exercise, that I want you to see this morning. And this is what I think is going to help guide us as we're endeavoring to walk in the light as he's in the light and grow in our light and grow in our knowledge, is that we've got to understand that when we're doing that, when we're walking in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. And I'm calling this the perfection paradox. Because as we're going through this process, it can be easy to slip into a very defeated mentality, a sin consciousness continually, as we're trying to walk in the light and keep it and growing. We got to understand there's two powerful truths. There is an element of that, that we're growing in our light. There's his mercy and his faithfulness. But we have fellowship with one another when we're walking in the light as he is in the light. So let's kind of delve into this. This is where we're going. Hebrews 10, 12 through 14, it says, this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he forever sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. New Living says, for by one offering, he has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. We're the subject of both of those. He's perfected us forever, and yet we're being sanctified. How can I be perfected and yet still be in the process of being made holy? How can those two things be true at the same time? Good question. Glad you asked. When you're a child of God, when you're born again, you become a child of God. And when you're born again, the scripture says you're a new creation. The old has passed away, all has become new. Ephesians said that when you were born again, you were created in righteousness and true holiness. Your spiritual being, your spiritual person, the man on the inside, is child of God. The Bible says that we can stand before him holy and blameless in his sight. We know better than that about our own natural personal consecration. We can never do that. But yet we're a new creation. We're a child of God. On the inside, we're a brand new person. He's perfected us forever. Praise God. Those who are being sanctified. So the perfected forever part is your human spirit that got born again. That is perfected forever. You will never, I don't care how sanctified you are. If you're not very sanctified or you're amazingly sanctified, you are equally righteous on the inside. Who you are on the inside is a child of God. He has perfected you forever, those who are being made holy. In other words, you're already made child of God. You have a gift of righteousness on the inside, but your sanctification is as it's beginning to get worked out in your life. In other words, there's a part of you, when you're really a child of God, there's a part of you that really wants to live right, that wants to do right. In fact, the scripture says, if our heart condemns us, man, there's a part of us that is dissatisfied when we step outside. It's our own heart. So there's something we have to understand here, that we know we're not perfect, and we're quick to say we're not perfect in the sense that we're not perfectly sanctified. We're not doing everything perfect all the time. And yet, we're child of God, born again, perfect on the inside. But how we're living it isn't perfect yet. We're growing. The Apostle Paul addresses this, right? I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or have already reached perfection. This is Paul talking, wrote half the New Testament. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I haven't reached perfection. I've been perfected as far as my human. That's why righteousness is a gift. That's why salvation is a gift. imperfect man, perfect God. The only way you could bridge that gap, our consecration, our sanctification can never, we can never live right enough to bridge that gap. It had to be a gift. Righteousness, we had to be, what did Paul tell Nicodemus? He said, you got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but be born again and have eternal life and live forever. You become a child of God. That's what happens when you get born again. You are a child of God. That's an amazing thing, but you're there. Now, again, you're in human, fallen, mortal flesh. And your mind is full of the history and the tendencies of flesh. And so even though you're a child of God, you're working through the flesh part. This is where the whole light thing comes in. But look what Paul says. He says, I have not reached perfection. And yet he walks in the light as he, you know, Paul would walk in the light as he is in the light, as the Lord is in the light. He walked in the revelation that the Lord gave him. The Apostle Paul did one thing. He forgot those things that were behind, and he looked forward to those things which are ahead. Now, when you look at things behind, there's two things that will get you to look back. Your own failures will get you to look back, and other people's failures. The way that you missed it, and maybe the way people missed it with you, all right? They'll get you looking backward. And the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm free. I'm free from that backward look. I'm looking forward to those things which are ahead. Now, why is this important? It's important to realize that two things can be true at the same time. I can know that I'm not perfect and yet be walking in the light as he is in the light. And this is where I really want to get to. It's why I'm kind of calling it the paradox of perfection. You see that there's two kinds of cleansing that happens in this passage. And I think this is going to hopefully make something click this morning. That's my heart. This is the message we heard from him. Declare to you, God's light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, this is when we're walking in darkness, but not being honest about it, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see two types of cleansing in this passage. I put up there manual versus automatic cleansing. Think of that as our cars, right? You get your manual stick shift, and then you get your automatic transmission. Well, there's a cleansing that takes place in a manual sense, and then there's a cleansing you experience in an automatic sense. I'm just catch this morning. I'm walking in the light. I'm clearly stepping in darkness, sin. I know it. Praise God. I can confess my sin. And what does he do? He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hebrew writer says, you know, if, you know, in the old covenant, you know, they used bulls and goats, how much more in this new covenant shall the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When I confess, and when I step out of the light into darkness and I confess my sins, my conscience is cleansed and I'm back in the light again. Do you understand? I don't work my way back into the light again. I don't sanctify, I receive forgiveness and cleansing. And it's his cleansing. I'm not back into a works program. My righteousness is grace. I'm going back. I'm saying, Lord, I said it. I did it. I received your forgiveness, cleansing. I am back to walking in the light again. I understand that. But now, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's an automatic cleansing that takes place too when I'm walking in fellowship with him. Two kinds of cleansing. The confession, and the cleansing is a result of confession, but there's also a cleansing that takes place even as I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. So I can say, hey, I'm walking in the light. I know I'm not perfect. Yeah, you're right, you're not. But you know what? There's another cleansing that's taking place. Why is that cleansing taking place? Why is that cleansing so important? Because even though you're not perfect, When you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you are walking in your righteousness. You're walking in the light that you have. It's as though you were walking in perfect righteousness, perfect wholeness before God. It is. It's like your garden walk is restored. There's a confidence that you have in him. I know I'm not perfect. There is therefore now no condemnation. Zero, none, for imperfect people. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're walking in the light as he's in the light. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. I can know consciously I'm not perfect, and yet I have got no condemnation. I'm simply walking in the light. There can be things about me that I know aren't right, and I've prayed about them, and I'm wondering with God, I wonder how God's going to take care of that. And I got no condemnation. Things that I don't even have figured out yet, no condemnation. I've just talked with him. I've fellowshiped with him. I don't have to have my house in order. All I have to do as he's knocking is let him in the house, share that meal together. I have fellowship with him. Oh, I'm telling you what, when we're talking about walking in the light as he is in the light, what we're talking about, it is simply letting the light, letting that light in. It's letting my requests be made known unto God. It's casting my cares on him. It's getting my heart clear. I might be struggling with some things. I might be overcoming some things. But I'm at the throne of grace, and I'm obtaining mercy, and I'm getting grace to help in time of need. And there's a joy of the Lord. I got joy even though I don't have it figured out. I got peace as though I had it when the very first time I went down at that Nikki Cruz crusade. That same peace, that same lightness in my feet I have now. There's no condemnation now. Wherever I'm at in my light path walk, whether it's thimble, cup, bowl, roomful, whatever, God designed for us to have no condemnation all along the way. That isn't a place that I achieve by any other thing than just being honest with God. And even when I'm honest with the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm struggling with walking in the light in that area. I pray for your help, for your guidance. Lord, if there's a straight path, if there's something that I can do, man, show me what that is. I'm having fellowship with him. My heart is clear. Praise God. I don't have to have victory in every area of my life. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If I sin and I miss it and I did something, yes, manual. I said it, I did it. Father, I receive forgiveness for that. Now, I'm before the throne of grace and I'm doing business and I'm talking and I'm getting what's in my heart out. And from that point, I realize that, man, praise God. If I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Here's the deal. When you're doing stuff that you know is wrong, it's just like Adam and Eve in the garden. They ate the forbidden fruit, and what do? They ran from the presence of God. And God is saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? Did you eat that thing? Well, when we run, when we do that thing, yes, we receive forgiveness, we receive cleansing, but now we come back. The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And I'm coming back to a place of fellowship and a place of confidence toward God again. This is important. We were called to walk with a boldness and a confidence toward God. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh when we're off there. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you know you can have a peace that passes your understanding of how that thing's going to work out? You can have a peace that passes your understanding, you know, of what's going to happen next. There's a place of spiritual mindedness that produces a life and peace. This is this walk, the quality of this walk with the Lord. Here's where my heart has broken, I think, in my own life. Where the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the preacher, whoever, I reveal things and I got light that I know I need to walk in. All right? And I keep stepping out and I keep stepping out, keep walking back. And all of a sudden, okay, maybe I do. I forgive that. But it's kind of like, I don't know. And then maybe there's more things. And you can kind of have this, what you could call a sin consciousness, where you're just thinking, oh, what's wrong with me and all that. I'll tell you what, when you have just identified something in your conscience and you've received that forgiveness, then you are walking in a place where there is now no condemnation. Here, the scripture puts it this way. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I can confess my sins, receive forgiveness. But if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. And he knows everything, dear friends. If we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. That's what I want you to see this morning, is that the desire, the heart of God in this walk with him, is that we live and we walk with a bold confidence. We don't have a constant sin-conscious imperfection sense. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But when I'm walking in that righteousness, I'm walking, the blood is cleansing me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I just want to, so here's the deal. My conscience is clear. I've been honest with God about those things that I know. And now I'm fellowshipping with God. And now I'm talking to him. But as I'm talking to him, I talk to him with boldness. I talk to him with fellowship, and I know that his blood is cleansing me from all sin, and I have a bold confidence toward God when my heart doesn't condemn me. Praise God. I'm saying that because you cannot get away from the fact that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God wants us to walk free from condemnation. There is such a joy of the Lord when you're just walking with him. And here's the thing. You don't have it figured out. You're just honest with him from your heart. And you know you're honest. You know the things in your heart that you've been hiding, you're showing him. And when you got that, there's a fellowship one with another. Why is that important? Because it's from that place of fellowship with him that you learn what to do next. You learn what to say next. You get that straight path. You get direction from him. But in our heart, we got to realize that there's two kinds of cleansing. There's that automatic cleansing. It's like, I don't know how you put it. It's good with me and God. Have you ever been in that? It is really good with me and God. I mean, we're going good. I'm strong in the Lord, the power of his might. It's going good. Why? Are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect, but it's good with me and God. What's going on? There's a cleansing from unrighteousness that's taking place behind the scenes in an automatic way. And in the sight of God, you are walking perfectly. You see, we don't serve in an oldness of the letter. We're serving in a newness of spirit, the Bible says. The oldness of the letter, the scripture says, would stir up and arouse passions and a consciousness of sin that would bring us defeated. As an old man, that's all you got. You know, you're spiritually dead. But as a new creation, the law doesn't arouse passions of sin to bring condemnation anymore. No, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. When I'm spiritually minded, it stirs up that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and I soar above the law of sin and death, imperfections and all. But why is that important? To realize that you're walking before the eyes of God as righteous. That's when your weapons of your warfare make sense. That's when your prayers are powerful. That scripture actually goes on to say, you know, we have confidence toward God. And when we pray, things happen. Things come to pass. You're praying from a place of righteousness. And so it's a perfection paradox. It's like two things at once where you realize that, hey, I'm not perfect. And yet, when I'm walking in the light as he's in the light, there's a cleansing going on behind the scenes that gives me a spiritual authority to walk in that righteousness. I mean, he didn't just die. He died for it all. Think of that. Why? What's the basis of the fact that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness? You know, when he cleanses us, you know, when we're just walking in the light, he died for everything that we're ignorant of too. Every sin was covered under that cross. When I'm walking in the newness of the Spirit, and I'm just walking in the light as he is in the light, his blood's taking care of what I can't see, what I'm ignorant of, what I don't know yet, and things are getting done. That's why sometimes it's almost a little intimidating when you bump into a brand new believer. Yeah, they got a thimble full of light, but they're walking in that light. And their things are getting done. And they're praying and things are coming to pass. Why? They're walking in the light as he's in the light. Now, They're doing some things that you couldn't get away with, probably, as they're still learning and growing. And yet, they're doing them and they're getting stuff done. Blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all unrighteousness. Where they're at, where you're at. That whole way along the spiritual growth line. We were designed to walk with no condemnation. It isn't just this little joy of the new believer that gets that. We all get that no condemnation walk with the Lord. Man, if there's something I'm not being clear about, man, I'm going to get it clear before the throne of grace. Yeah, but right now there's no condemnation for me. My condemnation is not based on perfection. That condemnation is just something that I haven't dealt with before God. What's my conscience, which is based on my light? Once I've dealt with that, praise God, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to receive that. I'm going to receive that no condemnation walk. I'm going to allow myself to be joyful, to be happy, to say, thank you, Lord. And you can cry out, Lord, you know, I just thank you that I'm forgiven, that I'm cleansed, and that you're guiding me by your Spirit. But I'm not living in this place of perpetual condemnation. We're walking in the light as he's in the light. That's the light of what we know, the light of what we've been shown by his Spirit. And you don't have to know everything right away. You can grow up day by day by day. As you're growing up, we have accountability for that light. Once we're walking in that light, we have fellowship one with another. It's a perfection paradox. Even though I'm not perfect, yet I've been perfected. That's why I walk in that place of righteousness, because a part of me is perfect. Your human spirit has been perfected. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're going to stand in the presence of Almighty God someday. Your new creation. And you're going to be saying, well, blessing and honor and glory and power to our God, who he shed his blood and made us kings and priests to our God. Hallelujah. But that has been done. So we're walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. There is a perfection paradox. You are perfected in Christ, and yet there's a process of growing up. But even as you're in that process of growing up, you're living in that place of no condemnation, as though you were already perfected. Not in an arrogant, I think that I got, I know I'm not. I'm like the Apostle Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. But I'm walking with God in a state in that way. That's why he did everything he did, to redeem what we lost in the garden. And this is what we got now as we're serving in a newness of spirit. We're recapturing that original fellowship with God, where we can walk with him in the cool of the day with a confidence toward God, not shame, not guilt. He's not saying, where are you? I can say, I'm here. I'm here and I'm in your presence and I'm ready to do what you want me to do and to walk where you want me to go. There's a confidence toward him with no condemnation. Oh, I want us to get that every step of this journey. That is not a place that we go to through our consecration. It's a place that we live in throughout our spiritual growth. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we can walk in the light as you're in the light. And I just pray, Lord, that some of these things that we shared this morning, I just pray that they will just begin to just translate, Father God, into each one here this morning. That as they're walking with you, that they would just realize that no matter where they are, Lord, that they can just begin to make adjustments as you show them, but they're just accountable for the light that they have in you. And from that place, they have a confidence, no condemnation walk, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would just experience that in a powerful way. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you I'm a child of God. I want to grow up spiritually. I want more light. And my heart is to walk in that light, to be honest with you, to receive mercy and cleansing, and have light restored. And as I walk in that light, to walk with confidence, knowing that I'm walking in your righteousness. It's a gift. And I received it at the cross when I became a Christian. And I receive it now as I'm walking with you. I have an assurance of my salvation. I have an assurance of heaven. And I have an assurance that I'm right with you right now. No condemnation. I don't receive it. I'm a child of God. And I walk with confidence in that gift of righteousness. And I thank you, Father, that I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes these are just heart adjustments of things we already know. But it's these heart adjustments, praise God, that make the difference, that really make the difference between, you know, kind of understanding some things in a technical sense and really experiencing, you know, that walk with the Lord. That's what I just so desire, that we all just are able to walk every day, no matter where I'm at spiritually. This message is for each one of us, no matter where we're at. No condemnation, none, zero. So praise God.